This is Sean Marcellet, the host of Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast, and you're listening to AT Banter.
Hey, and welcome to another episode of AT Banter.
Banter, banter.
Hey, where did I put my notes? Hey, I do that every week. Damn, I always misplace my notes. Hey, this is, of course, a podcast where we talk with advocates and members of the disability community to educate and inspire better conversation about disability. Hey, my name is Rob Minot, and joining me today, Mr. Steve Barkley.
Yay, it's me.
Yeah, so we missed you so much after you've been away for so many weeks. I'm giving you top billing again this week.
Excellent.
Yeah, there you go.
Not sure how I feel about that.
Well, Ryan, listen, you just have to go away for a few weeks.
It's that whole prodigal son thing all over again.
That's right. And hey, look who else it is. It's Mr. Ryan Fleury.
Hey, it's Ryan Fleury. Hello, everyone.
And no Liz Malone today. Sadly, she's got another engagement. So you just have to put up with the boys today.
I think the IRS is looking into her.
Yeah, I did hear she was getting audited. See, I mean, I guess that's the downside of being an LLC. Is that, you get those audits. So, how are you guys?
I'm just dandy.
You're always dandy. I'm calling that out. When are you never dandy?
Well, I'm okay.
That's better.
Well, let's ask this question. Did the Canucks win last night?
They did.
That's why you're dandy.
That's true. So they're still doing quite well then.
Yeah. They're still top in the Pacific Division. They've got, let me see, they've got Edmonton now 5 points behind them, I think. So long as we win our next few games and beat Edmonton the one time that we play them,
we'll
finish in top spot in the Pacific with home ice advantage.
Well, and the playoffs start in a week and a half, just over that. So,
yeah, oh, really? Yeah, it's coming up fast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice! I smell a riot.
Could happen after the year they've been having. Oh, it could happen.
Yeah, I mean, well, this is exciting. I'm excited for all those the Canuck fans out there. So I feel like this is overdue because when was that last riot and where we made the playoffs and then got knocked out? Was that
2011? I think it was 2011.
Yeah, so like 10 years. So it's we're due. We're due to at least get into the playoffs, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well we're in the playoffs.
I think that's we are definitely in the playoffs by hook or by crook.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. That's awesome. Well, good.
Yep.
I'm glad.
Time to pull up the Canucks flags.
Do you still have that in your living room? Do you still have that like that little hockey siren that goes off whenever they score a goal?
No, it got put away one Christmas and it's never been seen since. So I think Jackie finally got sick of it.
Well, this is the time.
It's been put somewhere safe.
Well, you should do some research to see if you can get it pulled out of mothballs. Because I don't know, you might be useful going into the playoffs. So.
Yeah.
You don't know. Well, that's excellent news. Well, listen, I'm gonna end our little banter fest on that because I feel like that's ending on a positive note. It's all good. All right. Well, then, hey Ryan.
Yeah, Rob.
What are we doing today?
Today we are speaking with Christine Chaikin and Tom Frank from the Council of Citizens with Low Vision International. Hello, folks. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having us on.
And Christine, I hope I pronounced your last name right.
Yes, you pronounced it correctly.
Yay, thank you.
Good, you're getting better at that, Ryan.
No, it's only been 9 years.
Right?
I'll get there.
You'll get there. Try it for the 12th year anniversary. No, listen, we are very happy to have you guys on the show. Maybe we can just start out with... one of you maybe can just give us sort of a bird's eye view of the organization and what you guys do. And maybe each of you could just let us know what each of you does at the organization.
My name is Christine. I'm a member of the Publications Committee as well as the Public Relations Committee. CCLVI is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. It is a special interest affiliate of the American Council of the Blind. It serves people who have low vision. Also, Dr. Sam Janinski was one of the founding members of CCLVI as well as the inventor of the CCTV.
So he started, you know, one of the ones started it, and that's it. CCLVI, we always say the Council of Citizens with Low Vision International. And I think the international, because we had one or two Canadians and maybe somebody from New Zealand on there. Yeah. Basically, we deal with low vision. And of course, Sam Janinski, he invented the CCTV. And 1979 is when the organization started. And I got my first CCTV because my vision started going bad while I was in the Army at age 20. That would be around 1970. Boy, that's long time ago.
Wow. Yeah.
And I sort of struggled with low vision. I could sort of read the textbooks with a small print, but I was having more problems. And I started out as a chemistry physics major, wanted to teach high school physics. But when I got to the point where I could no longer read the labels in chem lab, I think I'd want to change major before I blow myself and everybody else up. So I changed to advertising public relations, and now I'm chair of the public relations committee for CCLVI. But I struggled until 1973, because I medically retired from the Army. So I went to the Veterans Administration here in West Haven, Connecticut, one of the original blind rehab centers for the Veterans Administration. And I got a CCTV. This is way back in 1973. And with that technology, I made it through college, grad school, worked to Washington, D.C., Blind Veterans Association, and doing a lot of things with that CCTV until my vision got bad enough. So that didn't really work. And fortunately, the iPhone came along with talking computers and iPhones. So I made the transition. And that's one of the major things that we help people do is deal with their low vision, no matter where they are. And I'll let Christine say how we do that.
So there is several different events that CCLVI has. On Mondays, on the first Mondays, fourth Mondays, we have a general chat topic. The second Monday, we have CCLVI game night. Third Monday is peer support group. And then the first Thursday is our Let's Talk Low Vision. And the Let's Talk Low Vision is basically different people in the field. We've had people from the Lighthouse, like a low vision specialist, and talked about different products that they sell in the Lighthouse store. CCLVI also has five different CCLVI chapter affiliates, which are California Council of Citizens with Low Vision, Delaware Valley Council of Citizens with Low Vision, Florida Council of Citizens with Low Vision, Kentucky Council of Citizens with Low Vision, and New York State Council of Citizens with Low Vision.
Perfect. And I'll say Delaware Valley for those of you from Vancouver or wherever. Yeah, so the Delaware Valley includes the states of Delaware, southern New Jersey, where I'm from originally, and eastern Pennsylvania. So, you know, they have their own meetings, but they're an affiliate of us, and we're an affiliate of the American Council of the Blind. So,
special interest affiliate.
What exactly does that mean, a special interest affiliate?
So basically what that means is a special interest affiliate, it's like a under the umbrella of the American Council of the Blind. So American Council of the Blind has two different things. One is the state affiliates, where each state can have an ACB chapter, but most states don't have them, but a lot of them do. And then they also have, ACB also has special interest affiliates. And when you become a member of one of those special interest affiliates, such as CCLBI, you automatically become a member of the American Council of the Blind as well.
Okay. Yeah, and some of the other special interest affiliates, blind lawyers, blind teachers, BITS, blind information technology specialists, people interested, more advanced in the technology.
Then you got the visually impaired attorneys too.
Yeah, so you have a whole various, as I said, special interest group, families, students for the younger members.
They used to be students, they used to be next generation.
Yeah, so, you know, wherever you are, you know, there's an affiliate that sort of meets your little group, your cliche or whatever you want to call it.
So now, how old is the organization?
It was founded in 1979, so it's 45 years, I believe.
That sounds right. The math, I think that math checks out. I'm terrible at math, but sounds good to me.
45.
So in membership, you know, based on those five chapters, sort of depending on where you are in the country, you would sort of fall into each of those, one of those five chapters?
So basically how that works is if you're in different states, so like if you're in the state of California, you can join one of those, that California Council of Citizens. If you happen to be in a state where, you know, CCLBI doesn't have a chapter, a CCLBI chapter affiliate, you can also become a member at large, which means you don't belong to a ACB chapter or you don't belong to a CCLBI chapter affiliate. So that's where at large member comes in.
Yeah, same thing with the American Council of the Blind. Like Vermont, we have the Vermont Council of the Blind, but some states, I can't think of any right now, may not have a state affiliate, but they can still join ACB as a member at large, yes.
What I find really interesting about the organization is that it's specifically tailored towards low vision. I feel like there are a lot of organizations that are blindness organizations. And low vision is a little bit of its own animal when it comes to the disability community. Can you talk to us a little bit about, say, the origins of the organization and why it was kind of founded and kind of some of the important tenets that you know you guys are advocating for?
I'll say I think you hit the nail on the head there that. When it was started, and I can go way back to, you know, to 73, went to the VA, and I was sitting to the director of the Blind Center, and he was a World War II guy, had lost his vision during World War II, and one of the founding members of the BVA, the Blinded Veterans of America. And, you know, and he sat down, he was totally blind, and he said, you know, you low vision guys, a lot of it, we don't know what to do with you. You're neither fish nor fowl. You're not blind and you're not sighted. We don't know what to do with you. And then even today, folks will go to an optometrist or an ophthalmologist and they'll exam and their vision is 2100 in the right eye and 2200 in the left eye, or they have glaucoma and a field loss, and they'll do certain things, but then they'll say, you know, there's nothing that can be done. And that couldn't be further from the truth. What they mean to say or should say is, there's nothing I can do for you medically. What vision you've lost, but that doesn't mean there isn't anything. There's lots of things that can be done. And that's what we do, is help through our chat sessions and support and our resource page on our website, cclbi.org. I'll give that a little plug there. help people understand that, yeah, you can't drive a car now, but no, your life did not end. You know, there's Lyft, there's Uber, yes, if you live in the middle of nowhere, you'll be able to travel nowhere. And but I used to hitchhike everywhere. You know, I would get where I needed to go, but I'm sort of a rare breed in that I'll get where I want to go somehow. You know, public transportation. And when I lived in southern New Jersey, which was rural, it was hard. And, you know, other low vision people understand you're not the only one. Other people are doing this as well. And then I moved to Washington, D.C., and there's subways and buses, and it really didn't make it much of a difference. But, you know, how you can deal with that low vision and, you know, support each other to do it absolutely as much as you can do. And, you know, give your, jump in, do it well. Get yourself a white cane so you don't fall down in that ditch you had. And then, I know what your other vision are, but just talking to somebody about using the white cane. Well, I don't want to use a white cane. People are staring at me. And you've probably heard people say that. And my response to that after I know them for a little while is, what do you care? You can't see them. And if you think they're staring at you, wait until you step into that manhole and disappear. Then they'll be staring at you. Yeah.
Very true. Well, you know, the other interesting thing about this is that, you know, for many people, especially who maybe are getting some sort of a, you know, degenerative eye condition diagnoses and is working through that, they may be low vision for a while. They may be part of that low vision community on the way to, say, becoming a member of the blindness community. So, you know, it's almost like an entry point for some people as well. I'm sure.
And we have members that are totally blind and they went through that transition and they can help. It isn't the end of the world for them either. And for some people, the folks that we deal with, it's a real struggle. If you're blind, you can't see. You learn Braille, you learn your mobility, but tomorrow, guess what? You're still blind. Nothing has really changed. Low vision, every day that you get up, things could be a little different. Yeah. And how do you adjust? You've adjusted perfectly well, and then your vision gets a little worse. And now you got to readjust. And these are the things that we, you know, there's other people. We've all gone through it, or you'll find somebody just like you that can help.
Yeah, well, that's why, you know, I my ears perked up when you mentioned, you know, peer support group, because I do feel like that is a really huge component to helping people in that transition process. Because for people who are coming out of a diagnosis and their vision is changing, even if it's rapid, I mean, there is going to be a point where they may be more low vision than blind at that moment. And being a new thing for them, that peer support can be really super, super integral. Can you talk to me a little bit about the peer support groups specifically and the kind of things that you try to help people through?
So basically, the third Monday, how that works is the peer support group is a call where they have different people. Like they have a group of people come on and talk about maybe tips and tricks or maybe about assistive technology or like, okay, how do you know when your cup is overflowing? You know, stuff, basically tips and tricks of how to help other people do different tasks.
The assistive technology component is important too, because, you know, the three of us have worked in and currently work in the assistive technology field. And, you know, one of the things that always seems to come up is that assistive technology, people don't really know anything about it until, you know, the day that they need it. So for a lot of
That's
people
true.
Who are just coming into this and are just sort of entering into the low vision community, they don't always really know even what what's available to them and what they're still able to do with the right adaptations.
Right. And once again, the low vision part of it, as opposed to blind, if you learn Braille as a child and you're very proficient at Braille or whatever, that's great. That's wonderful. And depending on where point you might want to learn Braille, but you get somebody that's 50 or 60, and one of the leading causes of new blindness is age-related macular degeneration. Right. And that right. person might be 60, 70, 80. Let's face it, they're not going to learn Braille. Right. And, you know, if that's, but I've long worked with the Vermont Association for the Blind, which is a state agency, and we provide training and all of that as well. You start with, oh, well, you get the iPhone and it can talk to you, but they're not there yet. And so technology, dealing with people where they are and other peers that can help them. For example, our organization, we went around and trained not through CCLVI, but that's what I know. And talking to a woman who's, she's in her 70s, and what did she want to use her vision for? An iPad, so she could talk to her grandchildren in California. That's all she wanted, and that made her day. And anything else we tried to teach her, she wasn't really interested. And we had a little very, very complicated technology, if you go back 20, but a little, you know, Amazon, the little dots, Echo Dots. You can buy them on sale now for $20, $30 using Alexa. And she was having all sorts of problems using the voiceover, the screen technology on the iPhone. So we brought in her an Echo Dot and set that up for her. And there it is. And told her one or things to do with it. Went back 2 weeks later and she said, come on over here. Come here. Sit here on the couch. Sit here and watch. Alexa, play Frank Sinatra. And it started playing Frank Sinatra. And she was as happy as could be. So the technology for blind, although the technology may be complicated, all the use and the different software and all that is getting much, much better for a lot of people to use.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and I mean, there are manufacturers out there that specifically, you know, make their products friendlier for, say, an older demographic, specifically for that reason, because, you know, they understand that, you know, their main demographic that's going to be, say, using this device is going to be tend to be people who are going through, say, something like age-related macular degeneration. And the user interface on their particular product, you know, needs to be dialed down.
Right. And that's what we emphasize, that when we talk to folks and the peer support on, you know, the third Monday, 8 o'clock Eastern time. Yeah, of course, we're on the East Coast here, but it's nationwide. And Christine, I don't know where you are now, but Christine's Ridley from Hawaii. So all I know is I don't call Christine at 9 o'clock in the morning because it's 3 o'clock her time. Yes. And vice versa.
If you want, I can talk about some of the committees that CCOVI has.
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah.
So some of those committees include, we have a total of a lot of them, but I will only cover a few of them because if I cover all of them, you'll be overwhelmed. One of them is the publications, which is a committee where that committee puts out a newsletter called Vision Access, which comes out 6 times a year. It is available in email and in large print hard copy. You can also... We are always looking for content for Vision Access. So, and the maximum word count is 500 words. If anyone is interested in sending us content for Vision Access, you can send that to cclvivisionaccess@gmail.com. Another committee that we have is the public relations. And basically what that committee does is we help get the word out, like such as being on different podcasts and getting the word about CCLVI. We also put a flyer out that gives more information about CCLVI. And I can also include that in the email when I send it with the show notes. And if people have questions about CCLVI or questions about the public relations committee, you can send that. You can send an email to lowvisionoutreach@gmail.com. And then the other one I'm going to cover is the scholarship committee. And basically what that one is where they give out $3,000 scholarships to incoming freshmen, graduate, and undergraduate. And so if anyone is interested, like if you're in high school, college, you can, that usually starts up on January 1st of every year. So if anybody wants to, you know, check that out for next year, you can go to cclvi.org/scholarship. As Tom referred to on our resources page, there are several categories, and the direct link to that is cclvi.org/resources. And I'm sure people are going to ask, well, how can I tell if what kind of articles do you guys have in Vision Access? Well, you can go to cclvi.org/visionaccess.
You know, your website talks about CCLVI being an advocacy organization, reaching out to external entities, helping people maximize and utilize the vision they have, educating the public, looking at research initiatives to prevent blindness, so on and so forth. So what does advocacy look like at CCLVI, and what are some of the projects you guys are working on?
I'll say one of the things when Christina mentioned that we put our newsletter out also in large print. Me personally, I like to get mine on an email because large print, you know, 2 feet high is a little large. You have to, very large paper you have to print that on now. But to advocate, ACB, our own parent organization, wasn't necessarily making all of their printed material in large print. So we advocated internally to come up with standards, you know, what color text or what color background, what size it needed to be, what font. So, and then also advocating to other agencies like the Library of Congress, the National Library Service, which does the talking book programs, but making sure, or the Audible books on tape. We always say on tape, but they're actually now all digital on cassette. Yep, on cartridges, making sure when they put out printed material, it's available in large print, advocating for large print books and other, because especially, once again, older folks, as they're losing, they like to hold a book. They always held a book, and they still can get it in large print, a lot of novels. Hey, the Reader's Digest in large print and other publications. So we're advocating for those. And Christine can think of some others.
The other thing that they advocate for is like trying to get like insurance to pay for like devices and stuff too.
You're in Canada. Canada pays for everything, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God, we wish.
Nope.
Do I hear. I have a fella from Montreal, and he's always saying, but so-and-so won't pay for it. Yeah. I forget what your main agency in Canada for the blind through the, but you're more region.
Yeah. CNIB is the only national. Agency. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. But our funding's messed up too.
Yeah. It's all provincially based. There's no national funding. It's all province by province. So, Ontario and Quebec have programs, but the rest of the country has very limited access to technology.
Oh, okay. So you don't, right. Once. And so what we have in one way, We have Medicare, which is everything, but Medicare doesn't pay for glasses and most vision services. But Medicaid, for people who are low income or over age 65, Medicaid and their low income as well, pays for other things. And one thing they do, and that varies from state to state as well. I know here in Vermont, if you're on Medicaid and you need a CCTV, they will pay for one, but it's limited to $1,450. So, you know, it's not, definitely not the Cadillac, but it's better than nothing. So CCLVI helps our members, you know, advocates to our members to advocate within their states. And then, of course, those affiliates, the five affiliates that Christine mentioned, also go, and the state affiliates, their own state governments, like your provincial governments, to provide various technologies, training. And in the states, that really, really varies widely, like in Canada, I would assume. What you get in Nova Scotia isn't what you get in Alberta.
Correct. Yeah.
That's right. And, you know, it used to be better. I mean, there were more provinces that had some funding. I mean, for, if I'm not mistaken, right, Steve, like it wasn't Alberta for a while. Alberta was pretty good, but.
Well, Alberta still has a program. They've got the STEP program out there that's administered by CNIB, but it's a limited pot of money. You know, they get so much money each year, and once it's gone, that's it.
Yeah.
Edmonton is in which, Alberta or Saskatchewan?
Alberta.
It's in Alberta. And actually, the person that we talk to a lot in Montreal complaining about services here in Montreal was from Edmonton. Said, I got a lot more in Edmonton. He said, well, you moved.
That's right.
Yeah. And he was saying, you know, they had a lot of services in Edmonton, so there's Alberta. So, and once again, that's the thing, you know, we advocate, you know, what is Medicare going to pay for? And of course, we're members of ACB, and a lot of ACB really advocates a lot and lobbies, you know, the federal legislature and all of that. We have ACB. Also say has an office in outside of Washington, D.C., but lobbying efforts, making sure they're funding. We have funding from the Older Americans Act and also helping individuals, you know, that are members and on our support calls, you know, well, you need to call, you know, encouraging people. You've got to stand up for yourself as well and try to get their esteem back. You know, what happens if I apply, they'll say no. And I used to be a retired claims representative from Social Security. And people would say, like they probably say in Canada, if I apply for disability, they'll deny. And my answer would be, if you apply, well, actually about 50% of them are approved the first time. So if you apply, I have no idea if you're going to be approved. But if you don't apply, I guarantee you won't be approved. So if you don't ask for services from British Columbia, you're not going to get any, right? If you're low vision. We are CCLVI International. So make the same recommendations to folks in BC and Alberta and Saskatchewan and PEI, you know, and you're probably shocked. I know those provinces, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but can you name them all?
Yeah. Newfoundland, Northern Territories, which I forget what that's called. Yukon. I've been through Yukon, BC, Saskatchewan. I haven't been in a while. No, I have been to Alberta because it came down through Calgary. Ontario, Quebec, Nova Scotia, PEI. Haven't been to Newfoundland. I forgot what else is over there.
That's pretty good. I think yeah, only,
not too bad. Not too bad.
Manitoba.
Manitoba. Yeah. Okay. I missed Manitoba.
What's the other one up there?
Nunavut Northwest Nunavut. Territories and Yukon.
Yeah. Nunavut. That's it. Northwest Territories. Yeah. Yeah.
So close. I mean, that's close enough to make you an honorary Canadian. Yeah.
No. As I said,
I think that... I was raised here and we probably would have gotten the same score. So.
Okay. You know a lot more than Americans to name the 50 states. Let's put it that way.
50, it's a big number.
Yeah, and I'm in Vermont, and I'd be talking to somebody from California, and they say, Vermont, what state's that in? And I say, yeah. And then as soon as I said Ben and Jerry's, oh, we know Ben and Jerry's. They don't know Vermont, but they know Ben and Jerry's.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or the Newhart show. I remember Vermont for that.
Yeah, the opening scene is Newhart. And if you're from Vermont and they said things like, oh, the White Mountain Syrup Company, White Mountains are New Hampshire. Vermont as in Vermont, Green Mountain, you know, spelled incorrectly, but it's French for Vermont, Green Mountains and the White Mountain. Okay, well, you know, it's like you in BC making fun of people from Newfoundland. Yeah. And yes. Vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah. And Quebec. We do enjoy that. And Ontario. Here in BC, we're sort of on the left coast. So we feel we're like the neglected sibling. So we do enjoy making fun of all the other provinces.
Of course. Yes. And the United States, especially. Yes. But you guys are so nice up there.
we wait till your back's turned and then we talk about you.
Right. And then, but I did know you started with A T.
That's
right. Yeah. I noticed that. You're Canadian. But anyway, CCLVI, yeah. Once again, so, low vision, no matter where you are.
That's right. Well, so I want to actually just sort of back up and talk a little bit more about the low vision aspect of it, because I can't emphasize this point enough, because I really do feel like low vision is kind of underserviced in terms of a condition. I mean, I would argue that low vision is very rarely used outside of, say, the medical diagnoses. People really, and there's a big misconception in the public in terms of vision loss, because really people really think that mm-hmm. you're either blind or you're not. They don't often think about people who fall into this gray category that you were talking about earlier. And even when you're in that community, especially initially, it can be very confusing and isolating. And there can be all of these things that come up from, you know, I've heard people talk about imposter syndrome because they feel like they're not really blind, but they're not sighted. And so they don't really even know how to feel about where they are themselves, let alone other people. Or the fact that people who are low vision, it can really manifest as almost an invisible disability. The people around them can maybe not even realize that or recognize that they're low vision. And you can also, you know, even in the workplace, you can have people that for years will work around being low vision and not even let their workplace know that they are low vision, you know, for fear of, you know, whatever, you know, reprisals or whatnot, or even if it's just a personal choice. So, you know, that's why I really think the organization is very important. To have people be able to have peer support and to be able to talk through some of these things, because it can be very isolating. I guess the question to you guys is that, do you have challenges as an organization in terms of educating people that you're out there or that you know you exist? Because I can see that for a lot of people in the general public, they would just refer people to, say, blindness organizations. You know, what kind of challenges do you guys face in terms of getting the word out there?
that's what we're doing right now.
Yeah. So speaking of that, in response to your question, I've actually been sending out the CCLVF flyer that the Public Relations Committee has put together to different entities, such as low vision specialist organizations for the blind, the vocational rehabilitation state directors, just to name a few. And we've actually gotten a lot of good responses back from that. One of the groups that I did contact and send it to was the radio reading service directors. So one of them said they'd like an audio, like a little audio clip of, you know, what CCLVI is. Another response from Hadley was saying that they put out a podcast or a workshop rather called Resources Roundtable. And they were saying they would be glad to mention the CCLVI as a resource at one of the Resource Roundtable sessions.
And one thing to emphasize, I am, as I said, chair of the Public Relations Committee. But when you say, how do we get the word out? I always emphasize to people that we have, what can CCI,
CCLVI,
I guess it's easy for you to say, right? Yeah, CCLVI, you know, do for you and everybody. Well, if they knew about us, that would be great. No, it isn't. What do we do for them? And that's why we, you know, I emphasize and recommend everybody else emphasize, tell them about, you know, come on game night. And you say game night? Well, we use Zoom. And there's a bunch of low vision blind folks that are doing, whether it's Jeopardy or whatever, games and laughing and having fun like everybody else is sighted. Well, you're having fun. And then somebody just might feel sorry for themselves and come on with other folks. And that's a sort of a peer support. Come on, have fun. We had a person from Florida that had written, and I said, well, I'll contact her. And I called her, and she comes on one of our, you know, the chats, and she doesn't say much because she said, I'm 70, I'm losing my vision, but, you know, what am I going to do? And I'm on there, and I'm talking to other low vision folks. They're just having fun. But, you know, they argue about the same thing I argued about when I had perfect vision. And they have problems with families and kids and all of that. And, well, your low vision, no matter where you are, you can, you know, live a full and productive life. Just because you can't see very well doesn't mean that you can't do a lot. And just trying to get that word out, as you say, to low vision folks. And so I think the statistics are 90% of the folks who are classified as blind or legally blind or impaired have some sort of usable vision.
Right.
And we recommend that people use that vision.
So one of the other things that the Public Relations Committee is working on is not only sending out the flyers to different entities on email, but we're also trying to get the CCLVI link on other pages that have resources pages going back to the CCLVI website. So the more you do that, that kind of helps too. And then plus being on different podcasts too.
Right. That's right. And expect your numbers to skyrocket now that you've been on the AT Banter podcast.
And let me also just mention really quickly, and I'm sure the next question one of you are going to ask me is, so does CCLVI have a social media presence? Yes, CCLVI does have a social media presence. And CCLVI is on we do have a Facebook page, and that name is Council of Citizens with Low Vision International. And it is also the same on LinkedIn. And then again, I will include all of this in the show notes. And then let me also mention really quickly that if anybody wants to become a member of CCLVI, you can by going to cclvi.org/join. If you have any questions about membership, you can send an email to cclvimembership@gmail.com.
Yeah, there you go. So I have to cross those questions off my list. And see, Christine's actually a better host than I am.
Yeah, that's going to about do it for this week. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. And
anticipating.
Right. Welcome, welcome, our new host, Christine. So I want to sort of also talk to you a little bit. I noticed on the website you talk about youth outreach. Because I know that for other organizations, sometimes getting youth involved in organizations like this and into advocacy can be very challenging. And for you guys, where I'm sure that a lot of your demographic does tend to skew older, just because, you know, the whole age-related macular degeneration, I'm curious to sort of know what your experience has been in getting youth involved and if you do find that to be challenging.
Extremely challenging. If you got a solution to that problem, please let us know. But we have other, like the Kentucky, ACB has ACB families, specifically working with families, not just the parents who are visually impaired, but children, parents with children who are visually impaired and vice versa. What do they do? So it isn't that we're the only ones that deal with low vision. We're sort of advocating for our other affiliates to work with the kids, the youth, and all of them, trying to get them involved in ACB. Whether they join CCLVI, well, that'd be nice if they did, but just getting them involved in the quote unquote blindness community so they have other people that they can look up to and reach out for support. Because what do you do? Because dating, you know, and we've had some topics we talk about. Well, you get to use, what do you do for dating? That was difficult because I started losing my vision when I was 20. You got a single guy, you know, low vision. How do you deal with those? And you say, hi, would you like to go to the movies? When can you pick me up? Doesn't really go well. So, you know, that's where the peer support groups. And we talk about, you know, various topics, including that, you know, how do you deal when you're younger and have low vision, and help parents of kids with low vision, help, you know, understand they're struggling, how do they can help their kids. Once again, more peer support.
Yeah, so I'm sure one of the other questions you're going to ask us is, so if somebody's interested in receiving the list of CCLVI weekly events, well, that is very easy to do because CCLVI also has a CCLVI-info email list. And what that basically is an email list where you can get the weekly schedule as well as reminders of the different CCLVI events that are happening. So if anybody wants to subscribe to the CCLVI-info email list, you can send an email to CCLVI-info, the plus sign, subscribe, at acblist.org.
And how do you reach out to younger folks in Canada, for example? How do you?
Well, and I was going to touch on that. So the organization I'm a part of, our, I guess, average demographic is 40 plus as well. And we're in the process of working out strategies to reach out to the younger generation who seem to be more interested in self-advocacy and maybe aren't aware of the power an organization can have advocating on your behalf. It's one thing to leave a review in an app, but it's another thing to have a national organization go to bat for you. You know, they've been around a lot longer. They may have some advocacy tools in their tool belt that they can utilize. They may already have contacts or, you know, a proven track record with said organization. So I think that's kind of where we need to focus a little bit more on, is showing the teens, young adults, the power of an organization versus self-advocating, which there's a place for, don't get me wrong. But if you're really going to affect change, I think you need the power of people.
Right, because you're, you know, quite correct. And that's what an organization does. And it's hard to get people nowadays to join any organization as a group for social. I mean, we're also social, you know, because maintaining relationships, low vision, whether you're totally, well, if you're totally blind, or especially if you're low vision and you can't drive anymore, you can't see, you know, where, when I was single, you know, where do you meet somebody? Well, in a bar. But I, is she looking at me? I haven't the slightest idea. And I got very good. That's why White Cane helps. I remember when I was in California, I was working for the Blind and Veterans Association, and I wanted a map with my magnifying lens, strong magnifying lens. I could read a map, and the motel I was staying, there was a Hertz rent-a-car next door. And I said, well, maybe they have a map of downtown San Francisco. So I went up to the counter and I held up my white cane and said, obviously, I'm not here to rent a car. And do you have a little map? Yep, she had a little map. And then I called up later and I said, wait a second. Huh, she looked fairly nice. Wonder, is she single? So I said, well, I'll look up a Hertz over in Palo Alto. And I called, and the guy that answered said, she's been talking about you all day long. This guy comes in and says, hi, holds up a cane and says, obviously I'm not here to rent a car. But you would only learn those things and by feeling sort of self-confident, and you only learn those things by being self-confident around other individuals that are dealing with the same issues that you are. Right. And that's what an organization helps you do, not just to fight or advocate, but you learn from other folks.
Of those similar experiences.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, unfortunately, we don't, up here in Canada, we don't have any of the answers either. We run into the same issue. I don't know, I'd love to blame social media or TikTok and smartphones completely, but I'm sure there's other factors as well. But yeah, it's you know, it's tough to get them out and to get them involved in things. You know, I know that when I was 20, I was a meathead. As well. I'm sure that's part of it. But if we do happen to crack the code, you will be the first to know. We will.
Thank you. We appreciate that. No doubt. I try, if you probably haven't guessed, I try to use humor no matter what I deal with. And that's one way I cope. And once again, when I'm on my mat, I crack jokes all the time. Now, skiing, how do you, when you're skiing, I'm 74 now, no, and I don't go skiing now. I have problems walking across the street. But when I did go skiing, you know, they'd say, low vision, how do you tell the difference between a person and a tree? And I say, if it ain't white, I don't go there. Simple as that. Makes no difference. You don't want to hit a, just don't go there. You know, coping skills, and that you can learn in a group. And that, right. If you crack the code, let us know. I'd love to know.
Totally. We totally will. Well, listen, guys, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us. I know we've been dropping plugs through the entire show, which is great. I love. But just one last time, if people are interested in the organization, learning more about it, becoming a member, where can people do that? And are there actually, while we're talking about membership, are there any criteria that are necessary in order to become a member?
So basically, since I serve on the membership committee, I will respond to that question. So if you want to become a member, it is $15 at large if you pay by check. If you pay online, it is $16 if you become a member at large. If it is an online forum, and if anybody's interested in joining, you can go to cclvi.org/join. And then if you have any questions regarding how to join CCLVI as a at-large member or as one of the five of the CCLVI chapter affiliates, you can send an email to cclvimembership@gmail.com.
Excellent. Well, listen, guys, thank you once again for coming on, and stay in touch.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity, for letting us be on and get the word out more about CCLVI. We really appreciate it.
Awesome.
Thank you very, very much. Okay. Take care.
Thanks. Hey, bye-bye. Guys,
take it easy. Very cool. Yeah, I like this organization a lot. I do really feel like low vision is kind of underserved as a community. So it's nice to see. And I don't know of any other organization like this that specifically services low vision. Do you guys know of any?
Not off the top of my head.
It's right. Everything's blindness, right? Like everything vision related usually centered around blindness. Yeah, which I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like low vision does have a specific set of unique challenges that certainly segmented out.
Yeah, and as Tom said, you know, those of us who are totally blind are a minority for sure, right? Low vision is a much, much bigger segment of the population.
Well, and anybody who's going through a degenerative eye condition, they're going to go through that low vision period first. That's their entry point into, even if they, you know, eventually lose their sight, that's their entry point into blindness. So like having support front loaded into something like a low vision organization, yeah, that could help, you know, and help that transition along. Anything else?
Nope.
Any final thoughts?
No, nothing for me.
So, hey, Ryan.
Yeah, Rob.
Where can people find us?
atbanter.com.
Hey, they can also drop us an email if they so desire at the cowbell. At atbanter.com. That sounded really dainty. That was like a dainty strike.
Well, you know, we have an episode coming up at the end of the month that we'll be talking all about that. So about stay tuned.
What? About the cowbell?
About why I may whiff on the cowbell.
Oh, wow. We're having a whole episode based on that?
There's actually a condition. I think it's called aphasia.
Really?
Take a look at your invites in your calendar. Yep.
Aphasia. Okay, I'll have to look at that. I'll have to look that up.
Yep.
I didn't.
Whole episode.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Well, listen, I look forward to that.
We have a guest brought to us from Ted Drake at Intuit.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
See, Ryan got so sick of us teasing him about whiffing on the cowbell that
there
now it's a condition that now we're going to be assholes that have been... I'm disabled, you jerks.
That's never stopped you.
Yeah, pinball. All right.
Yep.
Hey, where else can they find us? Anybody?
Oh, I'd go with Ryan on that one because social media doesn't exist.
They can find us at Facebook. They can find us on X. They can find us on Mastodon. Or they can find us at Canadian Assistive Technology, www.canastech.com.
Yeah.
That's a good place to find us.
It is.
Totally. Hey, a side note, did you guys, we didn't get to see the eclipse, but did you, I don't know, any good
followed
eclipse
it
stories?
Online.
Yeah.
I read an article that said that immediately following the eclipse, the number of searches for why do my eyes hurt spiked on Google.
Are you serious?
I was just going to say that. I read that same article.
Are those Trump supporters? I mean, are those?
Probably. Like, that's,
wow.
I loved that.
Are you? That's, yeah, you can't make that stuff
true.
Up.
It's absolutely true. It's so good.
That's
I
nuts.
Love it.
That's nuts. Why do my eyes hurt?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Oh, boy.
All right, let's get out of here. All right, that is going to about do it for us this week. Big thanks, of course, to Tom and Christine for joining us. And we will see everybody next week.
This podcast has been brought to you by Canadian Assistive Technology, providing low vision and blindness solutions, as well as physical access solutions and augmentative communication aids across Canada. Find us online at www.canastech.com, or if you're in the Vancouver Lower Mainland, visit our storefront at number 106-828 West 8th Avenue in Vancouver. That's one block off Broadway at Willow. You can reach us by phone, toll-free at 1-844-795-8324, or by email at sales@canastech.com.